earring to sing a ling a ling a ling, and I thought she would be with me to the end of eternity. She broke my heart, I kept my dictionary to study. Now she's gone, and I got ill. And later, I got the bill. She always was a contagious thrill.
Vocabulary by Asparagi. The Matthew Aaron Show. www.thematthewaaronshow.com. At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, which Caesar is plugging away on right now. Pat Tobias, he's booking guests. He's making a name for that Matthew Aaron Show out there that Pat Tobias is.
Making your way in the world today.
Takes everything you got. Uh-huh. At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, I think I said. The Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. Like it. I hate plugging. All right, Key and Peele are on today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele from Comedy Central's Key and Peele,
yes,
which is a sketch comedy show that just began over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing really well.
Yeah.
Already got renewed for a second season. They'll be on in a little bit. I am here with
Lee Capreas. Hello. At L Capreas on Twitter.
You doing okay now, Lee?
Yeah.
You had a little...
Oh, that was the most minor crisis of the day.
What?
I just spilled my iced tea over here at Coney Island Dog on Sunset Boulevard.
And it was a race to get it away from the computer,
right,
and soundboard.
Right.
Because I'm sure Mike Binder, really over here at 8873 West Sunset at the Coney Dog, wants a fire to start from our iced tea.
Right. fire and iced tea.
Yeah, fire and iced tea.
Yeah, so that was, and that was, yeah, that was good. So that was a nice little before the show crisis. That was good. We put out fires here on the show, and how are you doing today, Matt?
Not so hot. yes.
Okay.
Let's see. Nick's not here.
Okay.
Because Nick is the guy that sets up our show when he feels like it, and he says he listens to the show, which I'm not too sure about. He plays games during the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the car yesterday, and on the way home, we're like, oh, yeah, remember how we're talking about favorite lesbians, and Kelly Carlin and I, we had the same favorite lesbian,
right,
Jodie Foster.
That was a very funny discussion, if you heard it.
Yes, and that's on Kelly Carlin, the Craig Bierko show from last night.
Very good show.
And so I go, yeah, Kelly Carlin and I, we had the same favorite lesbian. And Nick goes, Jodie Foster's a lesbian? Now, if you listen to the show last night, which most people who work on the show probably should have, we said that about five times.
Right.
At different points during the show.
Right.
So I have to say, it concerns me if people are working on the show and not listening to the show.
Well, not only was he not listening to the show, he wasn't listening, period, because he was sitting 3 feet away.
Right. That's, yeah, that's another thing. It's not like we had a phone-in interview
or
something.
You would not have missed this discussion if you were within an earshot. People were staring at us in the restaurant. They were trying to eat their chili dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were sucking on chili dogs outside the Coney Dog Freeze.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I'm sitting here last night on our way home, and I'm like, do you not listen to the show? And then I'm like, well, I think he plays video games on the iPhone.
Right.
And, so I need to, the point of this story is, I need somebody, an intern, something, and Caesar's working on it, but I need an intern or two that can help me prepare for shows, because they're getting so big.
Right.
It's getting crazy over here.
Right.
And I need people that can, I need someone that can do the sound so I don't always have to do it.
Right.
And I need someone that can set up the equipment, take care of the guests, do some celebrity some celebrity guest relation stuff.
Uh-huh. And one requirement is not smoking pot every day. That's a definite plus. That's going to count in your favor.
Yes. And remember to take pictures. And just don't play games on your iPhone for 2 hours of your life. Just 2 hours. That's all we ask.
Oh, that head? We don't want it in the clouds, and we definitely don't want it up your ass. It can't be there. Can't be in either place. Any other place, it's free to be. We don't require much on the Matthew Aaron
Show. This is a show where you do get called out on, though, even if you work on the show.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yep.
I expect people to go above and beyond because we are doing something special here.
Yeah, we are.
You find me another 28-year-old who's interviewing Craig Bierko and Kelly Carlin and Gary Sinise and Key and Peele and Paul Menteri and Peter Toll and Phil Roosevelt. You find me a guy doing that show. With this kind of comedy, with the people we have to call in just for shits and gigs, you find me that show.
Well, my cousin knew a guy.
Yeah, you knew a guy?
Yeah, you knew a guy.
Yeah. Look, we're doing something special over here, and things are gonna things that one day are going to blow up over here. And there's no free rides.
Right.
It's ass work and time, man.
Right.
Boots to asses. And, you know, Caesar does a good job. He works hard all day. Pat does a fantastic job as well. Pat just called me about some screenings, and he's setting up shows for next week, hopefully. Though my schedule's crazy next week, so I'm not too sure when our shows are going to be with Ma coming into town and all that. And then tomorrow morning, I believe we have a show at 11:15 with Mark Canton. He's bringing someone in with him who I was
Pasquale,
like...
Pasquale? Just say the name
Pasquale
of the mayor.
Pasquale
Villaggiarosa.
Vicadomini.
Vicadomini.
Vicadomini, who is the head of the Italian Entertainment Press.
Uh-huh. And Mark Canton is a former
big-time producer and studio head at Warner Brothers.
Yep.
And at, I believe, Columbia as well.
That's going to be a good show. Julia Gray will be sitting in my place tomorrow.
Yes,
for
Julie
all you
Julia
fans.
Me. Yes.
Of
yes.
which I am one.
She's great.
She is good.
She's great. You know, sometimes I wish I could make some trades. Not with you, but, you know, if I could trade some people of, you know, I don't know. I'm just disappointed because it's like, this is not a hard job setting up the show for me.
Yeah.
It's not difficult.
Well.
How quick did we do it? We did it in like 10 minutes.
I don't know. No sooner than did you start donning coattails, people are trying to ride them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and mine's a members only jacket.
Yeah, right.
They're not great coattails.
I was going to say, you're going to have to push a few people off there already.
Yeah, and by the way, Caesar did work very hard the last week getting us off of the... Well, we're still in the history category on iTunes if you like our historical content.
Right.
But we are now under comedy and film, which is a big thing. And that took a... Surprisingly, and a lot of people don't know this, it took a lot of work.
It did.
Caesar had to create a whole new RSS feed. He had to do this whole thing. Oh, anyway, Key and Peele are here. This is kind of exciting. I'm very excited about this. How are you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, take your time. You want to eat a dog? You want to have a drink? Do whatever you got to do.
Smoke
it. Well, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, we're joined. But once again, I have no intern today
to
take care of my guests. So now I have to do a show, talk to the guests, you know.
Right.
I'm probably going to have to go park their cars and
it's okay.
Get them some beers. And
so before we bring them on, coattails. So you got us off. Caesar got us off history. Nice job.
Yeah.
You know, fans of our Shroud of Turin show are going to be disappointed. Our Dead Sea Scroll show. Our hour-long Ava Braun show is going to be have to be stricken.
I'm going to let Key and Peele eat. They look like they want to have a dog here at the Coney Dog.
Yeah.
I think they should. So we're going to keep talking to you guys for about 10, 15 minutes here. I got to tell you, though, it is not that hard of a job to be my intern.
No.
A blowjob here and there.
Yeah.
And
occasionally a little hot coffee will be thrown in your face, but that's just for dramatic effect, and it won't be too hot.
That's all I'm asking for?
Yeah.
And a little grits in the shower?
Right.
A little hot grits in the shower? That's all I'm asking for?
I don't have my shower grits prepared. There's going to be hell to pay.
I'm so in love with you. For people that didn't get the Al Green grits in the shower reference.
No, people that didn't see the president that day.
What else is going on? What do we have going on? We're just an exciting life out here of nothing.
Of nothing,
well, tomorrow I'm seeing Steve Terrell live at the Catalina Jazz and Wine Club. Yes.
Okay.
You are strategically joining us. I am taking a date. I don't know. Is it a date?
I think so, but I'm going
to
be there.
I mean, I think when you take a girl to Steve Terrell, it's a date.
Yeah, it's kind of special.
Oh, is it special?
Yeah.
All right. That's why you're going.
Okay. Right.
I need you to be the friction to that special. Okay.
Okay.
Let me go over my 58th problem I have, the internet. We get a pretty bad connection in here. Here's what I think it is. We are running off of Nick's internet recommendation. And I don't think he was prepared for a Coney Dog internet buy.
Jesus, even his internet is slow and lazy. So we were supposed to go to the real time taping, and we were really excited because Reverend Al Sharpton was going to be a guest. Reverend Al, who had the highly delightful MSNBC TV spot that we played for you some weeks ago. So we're very interested to see what hilarious Sharptonisms were going to be brought out that night, and we couldn't get to it. The show went late. You were chatting with the guests after the show. The traffic was absolute murder. So any future times we're going to have to try and be guests on that guests on the show. We're going to be studio members, audience members. I'm going to have to be doing the calling on that one. I think you're blacklisted.
Am I
from real time?
Yeah, I think I don't know if I'm allowed on real time anymore, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if I am. I don't know if I'm allowed to get tickets or anything of that sort. I think we blew it there. But I was too busy hanging out with the fantastic, wonderful Ian Jeffers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you got to make decisions in life.
Yeah.
And this was an Ian Jeffers decision. He's a great guy. I really enjoyed talking to him and stuff. You know, I don't know. Now, I do want to talk about Key and Peele here on Comedy Central. They're on after Tosh.0, I believe it's Tuesday night. And they're doing killer ratings. I've seen a good portion now because I was going through clips left and right. And, you know, I don't got time for a lot of TV.
No.
This is funny stuff. They're funny.
Yeah.
They're funny. They're as funny as I expect. You know, I just had my meeting at Comedy Central. I'm going to get into that with them, among other things. But I'm very interested in talking to them. We're going to have them on in a few minutes. I think they're still grubbing.
Yeah.
I think they're still grubbing.
Now lately we've had this practice of people eating during the show, which is...
I know.
I like that, though. It's a...
It solidifies
our blue-collar status. It's blue-collar.
Do you like that? Because I feel it distracts them from me.
Well, I hadn't thought of it like that.
You know, do all the kids still watch Comedy Central? So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That is the 18 to 24 young male, smoke it up.
I'm just glad.
Get it drunk.
I'm just glad that they haven't forgotten about sketch on Comedy Central because sketch is, I think, very important.
Well, they did when they did Nick Swartzen's show. They forgot about it then. But now that they're doing this Key and Peele, I approve.
Right.
I approve. I approve of Workaholics. I approve of, I think they're doing a good job over there building. And I hope it continues that way.
Now, can we bring the focus back to Matt? Please?
Can we just play more indie rock bands? They better plug me. I may have to make you write a song about me in order for it to get on the air. That may be the new rule.
Okay.
Only songs about me are going to go on the air.
So this will be like one of those sweepstakes contests in the 50s where they had them write a song or a jingle for them about their product.
Well, I don't want anything about my product. I want it about how great I am.
Yeah, you're the product.
Like Matthew, you're so vain, except like you're so hot.
You're so hot.
You're so sexy.
You probably think the song is about you, and it is.
You want your song on the air. I'm totally cool with that. Any band. You're going to have to plug us on Facebook and Twitter, and you better have more than 5 friggin' followers. And I may make you have to write a song about me. It may happen.
Yeah.
It may, and if I start to get really competitive about it, you're going to have to write songs about Lee, too.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, about sneezing and eating beans for dinner and
yep.
Three Stooges.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So your mom is going to be here. Now, we said yesterday she's going to Jay Leno.
Jay Leno, which Pat remembered and I didn't. Pat called me today.
Yeah.
And he goes, when can I book shows next week? And
oh,
I go,
God. Is Pat just your handler at this point?
Well, accidentally, because he's not purposely my handler, but I need one.
Booker Pat Tobias.
I need a handler. And, you know, so I go, well, we have Tuesday my mom comes in. I got to pick her up. Tuesday night, I think we're going to the Loma Linda charity event with Craig.
Okay.
Thursday we got a screening of Silent House.
Okay.
Friday, I got Kelly Carlin.
Uh-huh.
It has to be in the afternoons, and you need somewhere between Tuesday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pat goes, well, Tuesday's out. Your mom's going to Leno. And I go, what? And he goes, your mom. She's going to Leno.
Uh-huh.
I go, she is? And he goes, yeah, she's going to see Leno. And I'm like, oh, all right, good for her. I forgot.
Quite the memory on that, Tobias.
Yeah, he's better than me. He's better than me.
So
Ma is going to Leno Tuesday.
So Ma's in town,
and she was excited,
Hollywood,
I hear.
And you're going to take her to a charity event.
Which, by the way, is an hour and a half out of town.
Oh, okay.
In the Palm Desert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm taking her to a charity event because it's a charity I really believe in and like. I think it's going to be a fun night.
Sure.
And I want to meet Marty Short.
Okay.
And Matt Perry.
You know, I was thinking, if you had a meeting with anybody, like a business meeting, you should take her to that as well. Like,
I'm going to introduce her to Marty.
If you have a meeting with Comedy Central, you know.
Yeah, they'd love that.
Yeah.
Well, they'll give her show.
Right.
Not mine.
She'll get a show before you do.
Right. Right.
She's great. What did you bring her before? She's so funny.
She has a celebrity-filled week ahead of her.
Yeah, she does.
Tuesday, she got Marty Short, Matt Perry, Craig Bierko, Valerie Burton Ernie.
You better give my son a deal.
Yeah. Then Wednesday, I think she has Leno.
Uh-huh.
And then Thursday, she has, I may take her to the screening or something. I don't even know. But she has lunch with Mike Binder one of these days.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'll make Rod Lurie go just for fun.
Oh, that'd be great.
He'd hate it.
Yeah.
He'd hate it.
I know.
First of all, she's a little bit older than him, so that's way out of the question.
Yeah.
Second of all, he'll be trying to talk about Fellini, and my mom's going to think he's talking about a pasta.
Right, right, right. it's Prince Spaghetti Day.
But yeah, Friday, we got Kelly Carlin.
Uh-huh,
and I'm
going to
have Ma go see that. I think she'll like it.
Okay.
I think she'll be like, that was cute. It was a cute show. I like when she showed the home videos.
Oh, yes.
And Roseanne, she's a funny broad.
Yeah, right.
I like that Roseanne. I love Roseanne's running for president and doing talks in Kelly Carlin's home.
Right.
Giving speeches.
Right.
About the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Probably written by Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, right.
In Kelly Carlin's home. That's pretty great. Yeah, Ma's just got the celeb life, the red carpet is coming.
A Sorkin, Zalian, Goggin camp tag team.
Anyone named Steve or Aaron?
Yeah, right.
I think, are we still waiting on Key and Peele? Are they still eating?
I don't know. They want to come on?
You guys ready?
You guys want on?
All right, okay.
All right.
Lee is going to be abandoning us here for a moment or
I'm
two.
I'm getting some pictures.
Mr. Jordan, how are you? I'm good. We are here with... Now, do you go now by Key and Peele? Is it like a one-name thing?
It's so funny. Somebody just said that to us.
Did they?
Moments ago, they said, if you guys don't mind, is it okay if we just call you Key and Peele? And we're like, well, that's kind of the idea. Yeah, go ahead. It's no big deal. Yeah,
yeah, that's like the new thing. So yeah. So forget the Keegan-Michael Key and the Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
It's all out. That was so... 2007.
Exactly.
Prince and Cher.
Yeah, it's Prince and Cher. Prince and Cher.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I've been watching a lot of the clips from the show because I'm broke. I don't have time to watch TV. I got to tell you, this is funny stuff, though.
Thank you so much.
I really, really love it. It's funny because it's so unexpected, but that's what's great about your show. You take situations and you turn it on its head. Unexpected stuff. The wire bit you guys do, the wire spoof where the guy's got to change his drawers. All right, that's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then when you guys are in the movie theater, too.
Right.
That's funny. When you guys are like cinephiles in the movie theater and you're talking shit.
Black dudes heckling a film talking about
that's
my
great.
With
Schadenfreude and frickin' Louis Buñuel. Yeah.
I know. I love it. And then the white guy's sitting there and he's like, yeah, this is so Tarantino, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, you got to be quiet, sir. You got to be quiet. I love that.
I love giving you something so the audience starts their presumption as to where it's going and then flipping. It's like, it's gold.
We love nothing more than the audience going, man, I've seen this already.
They was a step ahead of me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, can you curse on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Fuck.
Thank you, Kim. Isn't Kim beautiful?
Kim's gorgeous.
She is.
Yeah. Wait till she turns around. It gets even better.
I'm so happy that you do this here because I'm from Detroit.
Are you?
Born and raised.
Oh, Mike Binder and Tim Allen and Sam Raimi.
Yeah,
they're all from Detroit. This is their joint.
This is so great.
This was
yeah.
Mike Binder's dream. First of all, that's how crazy Mike Binder is.
Yeah.
He wants to put some Detroit shit in Hollywood.
Right, exactly.
You know what Hollywood's missing? A little bit of Detroit.
Little bit of some Coney dogs. That's what Hollywood's missing.
I'm from New York, but I'm amazed at how quickly you guys seem to be able to find each other. Like, wherever Keith
Jones. Oh, Michigan Anders? Oh, yeah.
Oh, anytime we're on set.
Yeah.
Anywhere. It's like you just, I don't know, you say some shit that everyone recognizes and it's like,
oh yeah, there's a bunch
of Detroiters.
Our crew is lousy with Detroiters.
You know what, it's like that with us in Chicago people. You find each other like that and it just happens and you don't, I don't even know why it is, but it's like, maybe because, I don't know if it's for you, but Detroit's always on the mind.
Yeah, you never not
so
thinking
it. Just comes
it.
Out,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. And same thing with Chicago. I mean, we both lived in Chicago. Yeah.
Did you?
And, we met in Chicago.
Talk to me about
either
that.
One of you guys before?
I don't know.
You guys look so familiar to me. Maybe.
Well, I did stand-up up there, and I did improv as well at Second City. So
okay.
I get around.
Yeah.
I get around.
Well, Jordan worked in the Netherlands at the theater, the Boom Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And in Amsterdam, and they did a cast swap one time, like a publicity thing. So the main stage went to Holland.
You know what? I think I know all about that.
Yeah. Did you see that show?
No. But I knew all about it. I knew they were sending people to Amsterdam for that show.
Yeah. Because the two guys that graduated from Northwestern, and they were in the in Meow, which was like, weren't Andrew and
That sounds right.
Yeah, they
that
were in Meow.
Sounds
and
right.
I think that's where they started. They started initially getting their talent from.
Right.
And then they started doing the show in the Netherlands, and then after that. They did it for years and years, and then Second City said, why don't you guys come here and have your cast perform here, and we'll have the main stage cast go to Holland.
Yeah.
I was on the ETC stage,
So
I didn't go, so I got to meet him.
When were you on the ETC? What year was it?
June of 2001 until December of 2003.
I was like right after
you.
It was like 2 years after.
Oh, okay.
I'm 28, and so I was like maybe 22, 23, so like
I got
five,
you.
6 years ago.
Yeah, and then serendipitously... We ended up on Mad TV together. We didn't expect that to happen. It just did. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And Mad TV, that launched everything for you, huh?
It was. I mean, you can't imagine how amazing it is to be able to come to Los Angeles with a job.
Yeah. Well, tell me about your guys' story. Give me your backgrounds and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, tell me how you got in the comedy, in the improv, in the acting. Give me the whole background,
right.
Man.
Who do you want first?
He's eating,
right.
So
he's
Peel's
his
going.
He's got his mouth full. I grew up in New York. I started at this musical theater program for kids called Tada! Exclamation point.
Like the Japanese sushi restaurant, Tada!
It's also called Tada!
I think
no,
it's like
Tada! It,
oh, okay,
no,
it's Tada!
Like,
okay.
Tada! Jazz hands!
Oh, I get it, okay.
And it's this awesome theater that still exists in New York. They do these really professional musical theater, original musical theater musicals.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
musical
I think,
theater musicals?
I think so.
So. So I was acting as a kid. And
so you were like Little Orphan Annie and
was,
shit. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I was like Emmanuel Lewis in walking around New York City. And I ended up going to college for a couple of years in Bronxville at the Sarah Lawrence College. I met a woman named Becky Drysdale. By woman, I mean girl. Friend. We put together a... an improv sketch comedy troupe there, and then fell in love with sketch and improv. So that's what we both left school. We moved to Chicago. No fallback plan. Let's just take classes and figure this out.
That's great. How'd you feel about Chicago when you lived there? You had a blast?
I love it. I love Chicago. I mean,
I miss it, man.
For one,
I went down here 3 months, but I miss it.
Oh, it's the best. It's
not, I mean, not only just that, the mecca for comedy, you know, the place where it was like our grad school, but just so cool and kind of haunted and beautiful. I love that city.
Yeah, it's great, man.
You know, I always describe Chicago to people as the it's not a city, it's a town with 3 million people in it.
Yeah.
And not Chicago. You know, it doesn't have, I mean, you go to the West Loop or something, you get some hustle and bustle, maybe, or the Central, you know, North Loop. You get that kind of hustle and bustle if you go down by the merchandise mart.
Sure.
But other than that, you just turn a corner and you're in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And there are people that know each other and call down the street to each other. It's got that great town, Midwestern feel to it. And, I was, God, that Coney dog's doing the trick for me.
It's good, man. Is it good? Do you like it?
No, it actually is good. It's authentic.
It's a winter sausage.
It's a winter sausage. Yeah.
Yep.
That is terrific.
Yep.
I was born and raised in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I went to school. I got I'm a college. I love school. So I got a bachelor's degree in acting, and I got a master's degree in acting.
Which college?
I went to the University of Detroit, Mercy, and then I went to Penn State for graduate school.
Oh, wow.
And it's been kind of a dark year for us there in that regard. But anyway, but I also opened a theater in Detroit. But when I got back from school in Pennsylvania, I made an independent film with some friends. And two of my friends were at the Second City in Detroit. Our executive producer on Mad TV was in a garage band in the late 60s, like 69, 70.
Yeah.
And he played the bass. And the singer in Wheaton, Illinois. And the singer in that garage band was John Belushi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it by any chance called Dickie Doo and the Don'ts?
You know what the name of the band was? It was called The Ravens.
Oh, no kidding. I'm actually joking. I know for a fact he was in a band called Dickie Doo
and the Don'ts.
Dickie Doo and the Don'ts.
And he was a Second City guy, so he tried to hire Second City guys for Mad TV as often as he possibly could.
Yeah, and that's been hurting, man. The reason I moved out here and the reason I'm doing this show is I was doing stand up and improv back home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I talked to Susan Messing, who you may or may not know. She
runs very
the
well.
Annoyance Theater.
Very
I love
well.
Susan.
She's my girl.
Yeah, we're friends. She's a great. I love her.
She's
a great.
Happy to flee.
She's great. And I'm like, you know, I feel like there's a glass ceiling out here.
Yeah.
They're not scouting out here anymore.
I know.
I had to do my own show, and now I'm doing this, you know, and I came out here and I'm rolling the dice, and Lee did as well. Lee does stand up as well, and we were just like, we're hitting a ceiling, man. There's
back home,
so
you're saying.
Much we can keep doing. Yeah, back home.
Yeah, yeah. There's only so much. Yeah,
there's only so much.
Well,
so
you know how there's always that great sense of, there's that sense of opportunity when you're younger, but then as you start to make the rounds, I mean, even the longer you're here, you'll notice that you'll see the longer you're here, the smaller this place is going to get.
Yeah, oh, it's
and
already
it gets,
getting
yeah,
that
it
way.
It gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Okay, so how does this Comedy Central show come up? Because I got sent there like a week or two ago to a general meeting, and they wanted me to pitch a show that I'm working on and putting together now. So explain to me the process for you guys. Did you guys go in there and pitch the show? How did it work? Gary Mann calls you in? And
yeah. Well, Gary Mann had spoken to our manager, the same manager.
Okay.
And he had found out, and in his director.
Who are you guys with? What management company?
Prince Pato Young.
Okay.
Prince Pato Young, yeah.
Okay.
And he and Jim Sharp, who's above Gary, they both
said,
you know, both these guys are available right now. And our manager said, well, let me ask them if they'd like to work together, which was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
And we, you know, yeah.
You guys are good together, too. It's very natural. It's very natural.
Thanks.
We had had the fortunate experiences on Mad. Of course, and, Reno 911, Chocolate News. So we had a couple of things that gave them the right impression of us.
Right, right. Yeah.
And the real thing that needed convincing, I think, was, well, what is this, what makes this show special in sketch? What do we have to offer? What makes...
I mean, the elephant in the room, of course, was how do we replace Chappelle?
Right.
But it can't just be Chappelle.
Right.
That was a big part of it. I mean, we've never spoken of. We don't seldom talk about it. But I mean, you have a demographic shift, and you start getting more viewers. Trying to figure out how do you maintain that. And so, that was. So when we pitched the show, I'm trying to think, when we pitched it, did we talk about the biracial aspect?
No, we didn't talk about that at all.
It was after.
When we first pitched it, all it was it's a sketch show.
Yeah.
And it was a discussion. And they said,
and
okay,
only you two were writing it? Or was there any more writers involved?
That,
or is it
in the very beginning.
The pilot, you two.
The pilot, every word is us.
Okay.
Every word
and
is us.
And we have, you know, Ian Roberts.
And the pilot aired, right?
The pilot, the first episode, the one you guys shot was yours.
Okay.
And we should say that, you know, Jay Martell, Ian Roberts from, you know, UCB and Jay Martell are co-executive producers.
Right.
On the program, yeah. They were involved, certainly.
From the beginning?
Not from the beginning.
After we hired them.
Okay. We hired them to be EPs, to be showrunners. And, you know, they gave notes on what we wrote. But for that first pilot, they were really good notes. They were just kind of like, you guys do what you're going to do.
That's great.
And it was perfect.
That's
and they just
great.
Wrote notes. And then we the pilot went through focus groups.
Yeah.
And it tested really well. And they were happy with it. And they said, and I understand we were very, very, very blessed. They let us, we had a put pilot deal. So the thing is, we just wanted to write the best thing we could.
Yeah.
We knew the pilot was going to get made no matter what, which was a little bit of a load off. It just kind of let you just be as, get the juices flowing and be as creative as you want to be, because there was never that impending doom that they might give notes to the pilot and then say, ah, we're not going to make it, guys. We knew they were going to make
yeah.
it.
It's also about,
that's great.
I would say about 5 months where several meetings with
oh,
them,
yeah.
where the, you know, we Keegan and I would come up with different pitches as to what exactly makes this show fresh or
yeah.
new or stand out. And several of those pitches we came in and, you know, okay, well, maybe maybe this starts from a narrative situation where Keegan and I are driving in our car and then you see a sketch that's based on what we're talking about. You know, it was sort of
yeah.
out of the box experimentation. They, you know, and then we worked with them. We all sort of found ultimately toward the end, I think the realization that, you know, Keegan and I had and the support is that our favorite sketch shows, the format's not broken with them. All
right.
The best sketch in time, you introduce the people as themselves on a stage in Living
yep.
Color, Mr. Show,
yep.
SNL, Mad TV did it, Chappelle.
Yeah. yeah.
And then you give the audience the sketches, and that way the audience can see how far you've gone to this character. And they also have that connection with you. So we didn't reinvent the wheel
right.
format-wise. We just focused on the actual content.
But writing-wise,
the content-wise,
you're reinventing the wheel. And what I want to say that I want to get your opinion on, I think you got to think this is great, is there is no demographic for you guys. There really
well,
isn't.
Well, that's yes. Thank you for
your
saying that.
Your comedy is to everybody. It
yeah.
really is, man.
I mean,
even if you guys are doing sketches where you're satirizing even like black humor,
right.
it's still for everybody.
For everybody.
Everyone really can relate to your guys' comedy, and that's what I was really impressed with this show. There was no demographic to it, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We literally, before we came here, were doing an interview for a woman who was writing a blog.
Yeah.
And I we were talking about just the general funniness in regard to human behavior. And I was saying that, you know, comedy and drama, I was taught years ago, comedy and drama is about human beings behaving badly. That's
yeah.
what it's about.
Yes.
So you've missed the boat if you think, oh, look at these dudes trying to make fun of black people, and like black people are always stupid. And we're like, well, that's not what we meant to say.
Because no.
what we meant to say is that people are stupid. People are greedy. People are vain.
That's great.
People make mistakes,
yep.
not black people make mistakes.
I think at least, in a way, we are getting more and more intelligent where that's not as much of a line anymore.
Yeah, well, that's certainly part of it, too. I mean, we certainly hope that when it becomes, you know, our dream would be that you know, 100 years from now, our show would look super dated.
Well,
you know, people would go, boy, that's not, why is that funny?
Who yeah.
Because we imagine that a lot of people 100 years from now are going to look like him and me.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Or some
right.
version.
Or
right.
some version of us. You know,
and
just,
your show has a chance at that, too, because you just got picked up for a second season.
Yes,
congratulations.
We did. Thank you so much.
I want to thank you on that. That's great. Congratulations.
Oh, God, we're really thrilled. Especially,
yeah.
you know.
Two episodes there, and they're like, you know what? Yeah, these guys are good.
Let's do it, yeah.
Now, were they like, you guys are cheap enough that you'll do another season?
Or only a part of that.
We've got the greatest line producer in the business. You know?
That's great.
Exactly. Yes, that's what we'll do.
We're gonna take it to them.
So to like UCB guys and Groundlings guys and Second City and all these people, what is your advice to them to go in and if they are lucky enough to get a manager or a connection, to go in and pitch a show? How do you find the right talent to work with? How do you prepare a pitch for Comedy Central if you're a guy like you used to be in your position?
One thing that Keegan and I have always been huge fans of is we're not too proud to perform in the room.
Right.
A lot of people, you know, protect themselves and say, this is going to be very funny. This is going to, trust me, this is the way to go. And this is what we're going to do. Keegan and I, we rely on the fact that we know we can get a laugh in the room.
Yeah.
And if you make somebody laugh in the room, it's hard for them to say, nah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, we just as soon show you.
We get on our feet if we have something that we know is gold. And we have, you know, the advantage of being having done sketch improv on stage for, you know, over like 25 years between the two of us. So, for instance, Keegan's the kind of guy who, if he goes for a laugh, he's going to get the laugh.
That's great.
You know, so that's a...
What made you guys want to do sketch over a narrative? Was it just natural for you to do sketch comedy again? Did you just like... Because sometimes I think, too, you have so many ideas and they work great in shorts that, you know...
That's our skill set.
Yeah. When we started talking about narrative stuff, a little bit of it was weird. Like, a little bit of it was kind of like, I think we're shoving a square peg in a round hole. Let's, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's do what we're doing.
We've
worked
so hard, and Keegan is a professionally trained dramatic actor as well. But so I'm partly speaking for myself when I say, you know, that sketch is, you know, probably the one thing that I consider myself really good at. It's, you know, that's where...
Well, and maybe that's great for you guys now, but obviously you guys are going to act in the future like in narrative pieces. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
cinema.
That's obvious.
That's the direction it goes.
You guys could definitely do roles in films and television easily.
I think when this show is finished after 7 years of amazing running,
we will be
ready to settle down into a single character.
Your CBS sitcom.
Right. Well, and not to mention the fact that there's no, how shall I say it? There's no, you know, there's an opportunity to create narrative stuff together in the future as well. And I hope, my hope is that maybe we can even cultivate characters that'll be in this show or next season's show or whatever the following season show that you say, oh, we could explore that more. I know we could explore that more and turn that into a feature script or something to that effect. Yeah. I was going to say something else, and I can't remember what it was because the chili's too good.
Think about it, but I want to ask you this. This is a common complaint I get about Comedy Central, and I want you guys to help me out with answering this.
Mm-hmm.
From people in the business, from just people that watch the programming. They feel like Comedy Central doesn't give a lot of shows fair chances. Now, I think renewing you guys after two episodes says, we're going in that direction. We're going to give people chances to succeed. Workaholics as well, third season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of complaints were Michael Ian Black and Michael Showalter's show.
Didn't get a fair shake.
Hello. Or you know, great shows that just didn't get that much of a shake. Now, what can you say about the culture over there, the atmosphere over there, that you know you guys are in good hands and that could put your fans of your show at ease that you're going to be around?
I think that there I know that there has been recently, and I can't give dates or anything, but I know that recently there has been a changing of the guard over there. And I think what I would say to our fans would really just be the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Workaholics. And not only are they working on their third season, there's an example of a show that they allowed to build, and build it did. As they let the first season play out, they got better numbers and better numbers and better numbers as they went along.
Mm-hmm. And they would re-air the reruns, too.
And I think they took a stake and said, no, wait a minute, let's see if it gets some traction, and they allowed it to get some traction. Now, the $64,000 question always is, how long do you let something go?
Sure.
Remember, I mean, of course, we all sit here and we all know there would have been none of us would have been able to enjoy Seinfeld.
Right.
If our country wasn't in an economic situation where we had a surplus and every company in the world had money, and there were startups all over the place, and it was no big deal. Let it go another season, and it becomes one of the seminal pieces of television.
And then
the
you
last.
Have a guy, you have a great guy like Tartikoff behind that, too, who's like, I'm going to let Cheers, I'm going to let Seinfeld, I'm going to let these shows
breathe.
That I like breathe. And yes, it's because he liked them, but he let them breathe. He let them have, you know, he put them on in the summer, and in the fall, he started them up again, and they finally gained traction with Emmy nominations and what have you. And I will tell you, after just the one meeting I had with Gary Mann over at Comedy Central, I can say, I think the guy knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
He was smart.
Gary,
he was really smart.
Gary knows funny. Really well.
And so does Monica.
And Monica's a little
Yeah.
Another Detroiter.
And I got to tell you, if you were frustrated after the Chappelle years with Comedy Central and you're listening, I'm telling you right now, give it a chance. I really think you should give the network a chance again, because I think they're going to stick with stuff over there.
Yeah.
I think they're going to let things play out, and I think that they're going to have some great shows because of it.
I think that is the new way. I think that's the new...
It's really fascinating that, you know, it's the only and first network of all time that's solely based on comedy.
Yeah.
And comedy, it's unique. It's something that works or it doesn't work, and it works for different people or it doesn't work for different people.
Well, because it's both unique and varied.
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah.
So all those execs, you know, it's got to be a very unique situation that, you know, on one hand they want to get on the same page as far as what is Comedy Central's brand of comedy. What do we find funny?
Right.
There are many people that I'm sure go in and pitch shows and think that they're hilarious, and may be, but it's just not the right style for them.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Why is an 18-year-old going to like your guy's show, and why is a 35-year-old going to like your show? What makes you guys so, like, demographic-free?
One of the things is...
Universal.
We're fans of comedy. We've watched most of it, and we're fans of classic comedy. There's certain bits that we know are timeless, and because they're about the human nature, or they're about wordplay or whatever they're about, and we tried to make bits that are universal. Now, that being said, we also have bits that are specifically targeted for the younger person. We have the Lil Wayne sketch to let people know, no, guys, we get you. And we're in this world, too. But then we also have sketches that, you know, you have to be educated.
That's
what
I like.
Know.
That's what's great about that the Two Bitches sketch, and then the movie sketch as well.
And
The Wire. The Wire. Obviously, not a lot of 18-year-olds have seen The Wire. So that's what's great about the show is there is stuff for everybody in it.
Mm-hmm. We wanted the show to have variety.
It's very universal.
We definitely wanted to have variety. Yeah. There's going to be really super universal sketches about the picadillos of human nature, and then there's going to be more specific sketches. So we try to make each episode have something for everyone. I know what I was going to say before was the other interesting thing in the landscape that we're dealing with now is there are more metrics to use to check whether or not a show is successful.
I know.
And I think now Comedy Central is doing more of that. They're cottoning onto that idea. So it's saying, look, if you only got X amount of million viewers or this number this week right after the show aired, that's okay. You can watch this online. You can watch that scene online. There's more content, and then of course the evolution of the DVR.
Yeah.
So I think that I think it behooves them, at any network, to give a show more time.
Yeah.
To give it more time, so you can see like, oh, it's rolling. It's roll, as opposed to smash hit. Smash hit. You know what I mean? And I think that they're savvy to that.
Now what? Do you guys have in the works, maybe, are you guys going to produce stuff together over there? Are you looking to do other shows, too? Or are you just looking to concentrate on what you're doing? Production company,
right,
though, maybe?
I mean, right now, with it just here in season two, we just want to beat what we've already written.
Sure.
And that is going to be a more than full-time job. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
To beat what we've already done. And to further, speaking of evolution, further find... what is this show supposed to be?
Yeah.
I'm not sure we know exactly yet.
Yeah.
What is this show supposed to be? What will this show become? How will it evolve? And so right now, to me, I don't know many people in my world, in my sphere of existence, that are as dedicated as my partner.
Yeah.
And so I don't, you know, I can see him. I can see him, you know, being single-minded and having tunnel vision because it's difficult. I mean, we like to think of ourselves a little bit like it's like a Larry Bird situation.
Yeah.
People just go, man, that Bird, why is he so good? Because he practices.
Yeah.
Because he works hard. He works really hard.
And if we do well enough with this second season, it takes away probably 70% of the work with producing something.
Yes.
You know, someone's going to come, hey, would you like to produce this?
Yeah, right.
We'll say, can we just pop in and give some notes
every
3 weeks?
funnier we are, the more it'll buy us.
Exactly. We get more credit.
And that's the thing about you guys, but this is what I'm liking, and this is why if I'm out there right now and I got a great project, I'd want you guys to even produce it, is you guys are smart. You guys are smart, and even just getting your notes on a script or getting your notes on a casting session, whatever, is great. It's great overall because you guys are smart.
Oh, well, thank you.
And let me ask you about this. Where do you come up? How do you – because as a writer, I know everyone has different ways.
Sure.
So what do you guys do to come up with your sketches? How does this process work? I'm sure some of it's random, like you're driving in the car and you're like, oh, shit. And then some of it you're watching TV and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
and then
maybe
you're sitting together and you come up with stuff. So how does that work?
Well, we have different methods, first of all.
Right.
Together, it works very, we coexist. It's a perfect partnership.
Yeah. Jordan's more left-brained than I am. I shouldn't say that. It's hard. I'll say it this way. We're two different parts of a right brain. So he is the part of the right brain that is a little more organized and can kind of think about things. But when he thinks about things in a detailed manner, he still does it in an imaginative way.
Yeah.
I cannot write sitting down. I have to be on my feet, and I have to play the character and walk around the room, and then I have to go, wait, then this. Mm-hmm. And so it's with me, a lot of it has to do with kind of recording, you know, having recording devices all over the place so we can just record what I say
and then
polish it later. Because I come from the Second City tradition, so writing, improvisation being used as a tool, and that's always all I've written, is being able to do the work on stage and transcribe it later. And what did you say yesterday? You said a couple days ago. He said, I like to think of it as us being Dr. Xavier and Wolverine.
Well, strategically, you know, which is probably my side of the thing is the military strategist.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of things that you want to make sure you're doing with any scene. You want to make sure this thing called the nugget of the scene, the thing that inspires you to write and flesh it out, you have to make sure that is fresh, new, and that is something that alone is...
Like the sketch where Obama loses his shit.
So there's a perfect example of a nugget. The nugget is, why can't the president say anything? Well, let's give him a vehicle to say something, to say what he wants.
We know before we even write that scene that if that scene is executed to the top of its... of itself, if it's executed perfectly, that's going to be a home run scene.
Yeah.
Whether you're 18 or you're 34.
You know, I can do the impression. We know that Keegan has the physical comedy. So it's at that point, it's safe. Once we have that.
But also, there's another aspect that you want to have in your comedy, and it's having an audience get a smorgasbord of experiences while they're watching a scene. So like in that particular scene, you think about the fact that, oh my God, if I close my eyes, it's like I'm hearing the president.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that funny guy behind him jumping around. So you get to appreciate something that nobody else, and I'm just going to say it, nobody can do it as well as he can do it. Nobody can do it. Come all challengers. I welcome them. They can't do it.
That's great.
So you have to admire what he's doing, and then there's a political aspect to it, and then there's somebody jumping around in the background, which is what people have been laughing at for thousands and thousands of years.
That's
people
great.
Jumping around. So there's more to it than even that. But I'm hitting it on a kind of primal basis, on a very fundamental basis. Like you can watch, you're enjoying the scene on different levels simultaneously.
Now what can Key and Peele fans, I love the one name now. All right, Key and Peele fans, what can they expect from Key and Peele in Wanderlust?
In Wanderlust.
Oh, in Wanderlust. Yeah. Oh.
Well, we didn't get to do any work together in Wanderlust.
No, we did. We did.
No. We were hired.
But you're both in it.
But we are both
yes,
in it.
Yes, we're both in it. Yep. We're going to a screening tonight.
You're right. The premiere's tonight, right.
Wanderlust is a film in about LA. Jennifer Aniston, Paul Rudd, married couple, lives in New York. Because of the high housing costs, they move cross country and they find this community Elysium.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm in Elysium. I'm Rodney, a character who is in this commune. Keegan exists on the city side.
Yeah,
play an HBO executive.
Yeah,
right?
They talk about meta. Yeah, I played HBO executive. It's hilarious.
That's great. So that movie comes out in what, 2 weeks, is it? Two Fridays?
Next Friday, the
24th.
Next Friday,
the
24th.
Comes out
yeah.
the 24th. David Wayne directed it, who is amazing.
Amazing.
With Ken Marino.
Yeah. Yeah, I love David Wayne. We're hoping to get him on when the movie comes out. He's
man.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to him a few times. He wants to do it. We're just working out a date. And I think David Wayne is a guy that we need more comedy directors like him.
We absolutely do.
Because the guy understands everything about comedy. Everything. Mm-hmm. He's not just a one-note guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's great about him.
Yeah, he's so terrific. I admire how he streamlines things.
Yeah.
So he lets you do what you want. Like, he lets you go and do what you want. But then he always stays true to the story. So that at the end of the day, you're watching a film that can be uproariously funny, but also have an intact narrative.
Right.
And he and Ken are really sticklers about that. It has a very different feeling than...
Like role models.
Role models, yeah. I was very fortunate to be in a few scenes in role models. And a lot of the stuff I did got cut out, and they put it on the DVD extras. And my wife said, oh, no. And I said, no, honey, but watch this movie. Because when we finished watching the movie, I said, I don't have any anger whatsoever about being in the DVD extras. What I did didn't fit within the story of the movie.
Yeah, you wanted it to be a better movie.
And then you see other movies where they let the improv run amok.
Yeah.
And then you go, whoa, 2 minutes into an improv sketch, you're going to go, where was this going?
Yeah.
Like, you know, as opposed to staying on task.
Because you know how improv is. You can't. You
can't
let it go too long.
Yeah.
Shit will get crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
People aren't going to pay attention.
It's also a slight misconception that improv just translates.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't. You know, when you're in a crowd watching improv, it's because you know it's happening right then and there.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to
get. I got to tell you, it's very hard for me to remember my old improv, like, when I would perform. You forget what you even do because it's never static.
Yeah, it's never static. Yeah.
You're like, oh, I think I did something like that before. Like, people are always like, what's your favorite thing you did when you were doing improv? I'm like,
I don't know. Improv.
You were in the zone. You weren't.
Right, exactly.
You weren't committing anything.
I know. They're like, what was your favorite character? I go, character? Yeah, what are you talking about?
My favorite thing I did when I did improv was improv.
The only thing I remember is one time I accidentally slipped and fell and hit my friend in the balls for real.
And it was a mistake.
And that I remember because it was a mistake.
Yeah.
And it was fucking funny. But
well, then that goes back to what Jordan was just saying. You'll get on set and there'll be the entire crew loses their minds.
In Wanderlust or in our show?
Well, in our show. In any situation. Like, let's say you've done two takes, right?
Yeah.
And then the director comes up to you unbeknownst to the crew. The director says, do what you want this time or do that thing that we were laughing about in the hotel last night. And then you do that.
Yeah.
You do that. The crew erupts, but they're erupting because of the novelty of the new thing.
That's great. You're right.
That doesn't necessarily. And David is always aware of.
Yeah.
That.
See, there's so much to learn from you guys because I'm assuming you guys were you born this smart? You picked it up, obviously. You work with a David Wayne, you get smarter, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that how it works?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Or dumber.
Yeah.
He's a very confusing sense of humor.
No, he does have a confusing sense of humor.
But so you've funny. Always been known, Jordan, for smart comedy, too, because you got nominated for an Emmy for a Sad City
yes,
Sense
he did.
On Mad TV. Yeah. And that was really smart. You know, it's a witty, fucking song, man.
Right.
Like, so how do you feel about, like... What is your comedy style to you? Are you more into, like, because you guys both did David Alan Greer's The Chocolate News, right?
Yeah.
So you guys are political also. You did that Obama sketch on your show. How much of your stuff do you feel like is universal comedy, and then how much do you want to make political comedy? Do you want to... Or is it just something that happens, or what?
My feeling about laughter is like it is an essential human tool.
Yeah.
And every time we laugh for real, and it's a real moment, it's a cathartic moment. It's something that tells us something about ourselves. It's a surprise to us. So whether it's politics, whether it's the human condition, whether it's race, sex, yeah, I think laughter promotes discussion and promotes conversation.
So you guys are not going to be afraid, though, if you feel strongly about something that's hot and political and funny, to do it on your show, even though you got 18-year-olds listening to your show. Maybe politics ain't up their alley.
I really feel like it's time.
Yeah.
To treat young adults like they're adults.
I agree.
I really feel like, you know what?
Because a lot of them are stupid.
A lot of them are stupid, but there are some out there, and you know, and if their friend is cool and cares and he watches the show, maybe they'll watch the show and learn something. Yeah. Because I feel like these people are not developmentally disabled. They're afraid, or they're, and when I say ignorant,
unless they live in my house, then they are developmentally disabled.
I mean, I feel like also, to me, Making a point about how humans behave is political.
Yeah.
It is political. So a sketch could be political and not even be about American politics in particular.
I agree.
And to me, that's what's most important. Like my partner, I mean, Jordan sees things in the world and goes, no, that doesn't fadge. That doesn't make sense. And when he says that, it's not always because of his worldview. Now, there are comedians that make their bread and butter based on, this doesn't. I'm going to make fun of this thing that doesn't work in my world. You know, like Dennis Leary or
we had on Kelly Carlin yesterday, George Carlin,
or Sarah Silverman. So,
yeah.
You know, I have this worldview,
yeah.
And I'm going to comment on that based on my worldview.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we do comedy that's based on our filter, our worldview. But we also, I'm very interested in doing what I would like to call anthropological comedy. It's comedy that makes human beings go, a human goes, oh, we do that. Not black people do that.
Right.
Not Asians do that. We do that.
Right.
Yeah. I do that.
Right.
Yes. Well, the thing about comedy, and I was going to read this quote today, and I forgot to read it at one of my nerd books at home about theory and dramatic criticism, about why comedy is good for society, is that you're going, ha, 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 but deep down you're saying, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else has to know that. Nobody else has to know when you're watching that character, you go, that's me, that's me.
You know, it's funny you brought up a quote, though. I wanted to play this Gene Wilder quote, which you may know,
but I wanted
to get your guys' take on his take on comedy. And let's see if it's ready to go.
The philosophy is very simple. If the thing you're doing is truly funny, you don't have to act funny doing it. Do it for real, and it'll be funnier. That's the whole thing.
100% true.
Correct?
That's the bitch sketch.
That's how I feel.
That's why,
yeah.
That's exactly why he is
Gene
Wilder. Funniest person
alive.
You can see in his eyes that he believes what he's saying. He's so serious
all the time. There's nothing, there's no such thing. I don't know. There's no such thing. Well, one could say this. There's no such thing as comedy acting.
Yeah.
Please explain to me distinguish for me the difference between dramatic acting and comedy acting.
I've done both, and I've never been taught one's different than the other.
You act truthfully in the given circumstances.
Yep.
Now there are characters who are composites or amalgams of things that we know, and that's what we're laughing at is the recognition of. I mean, for me, like on Mad TV, they're like, I had a coach just like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what people always say to me. It's so funny. I had a coach just like that. It's part of the cocktail is recognition.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. I agree. That's a really good way to put it.
But that's a perfect quote by Gene Wilder. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, it's like Cary Grant. Cary Grant was good at comedy.
Yeah.
People forget that when he made those comedies.
He was just straight.
Boop. And then when you get excited or get flustered, you'd lose your mind. And Kate Hepburn's like, wow, I want it all. You know?
Yeah.
And terrific.
Rob Hubel's
great at that.
You know, we've worked with him in a children's hospital.
Yeah.
And I think his general rule, at least for that show, is the sillier the line, the more straight he plays it.
Yeah, yeah.
The more, and you know, that's one of the reasons he's a genius as well.
Well, and I mean, think about, you know, I think sometimes some people, and this is up for debate always, but, you know, I've taken acting class, acting for the camera classes and stuff like that, and you have these deep discussions about What's talent? What is talent? Some people's talent is simply the package God put them in.
Yeah.
So there are people like on Children's Hospital. There is a countenance that people have. There's like you think about Eddie Murphy. Go ahead.
I was going to bring up Eddie Murphy.
Megan Fox, most talented woman in Hollywood.
She's in a good package.
She's in a pretty good package. But I mean, there's people that Gene Wilder. It just is what he is.
Well, it's funny you brought up Eddie Murphy because that's my comedy hero of all. We've talked about it on the show numerous times. I love Eddie Murphy.
He's a hyphenate.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a stand-up comedian who's a conceptual comedian,
yep.
But also a fantastic actor.
Yeah, and what I love about Eddie Murphy is he does the Gene Wilder thing, too, even in Beverly Hills Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what makes the movie so funny, is it's just Eddie going along with the flow of being in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, we say all the time that there's an archetype that Eddie embodies, and he's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Or if you want to get nerdy about it, he's Arlecchino. From the Commedia dell'arte. He's Arlecchino.
He can't lose.
Mm-hmm. Street smart, doesn't have a super education, but he's got horse sense and street smarts, and he always bounces back, can't lose.
I have this thing about the Eddie Murphy thing. I love Eddie Murphy. I had this this awakening with Martin Lawrence with Martin's show, which I know.
With his sitcom?
With his
sitcom. Yeah, with Martin.
Think what you will about it. But as a black kid, interested in theater, interested in comedy, to me, it was a liberation to find a black guy who was able to
be
Daffy Duck.
Martin was a good show.
Yeah. And Jordan, did you feel when you were a kid, did you have the sensibility of like, I don't want to have to act like I'm too cool for school all the time?
Right. Yeah. It was. You remember Martin would lose. And he was
Martin lost all the time to Gina.
The first black guy that was doing like the Honeymooners bit.
Yep.
Exactly. The first black guy, because I bet I can get laughs from being Ralph Cramden, not being Axel Foley.
And I mean, he even carried that over, even when Martin ended up doing like Bad Boys.
Absolutely.
And Boomerang. And like Martin was always the guy that lost.
Yeah.
And
it
was funny watching Martin lose, like you said.
Right.
It's funny watching Martin lose. Mm-hmm. There's just something great about it, the frustration. And
He plays it like Wilder. He lets you laugh at his soul.
I agree. I hope his new comedy he's doing for CBS, I hope he does that same thing.
Yeah. Me too, because that was the formula that worked for him.
Because when Martin Lawrence is getting kicked around, there's nothing funnier.
And that, at the time, I'm sure for many years, that's a very scary thing for both black people and white people to allow a black person to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
But with him, it was his show, so that sort of alleviated some of that, he's not the victim here. He's putting the whole thing together, and we got to laugh.
Well, David Alan Greer's kind of an original in a way, too, because he's a black man that got to go on TV and in the film and be incredibly smart,
absolutely,
but witty.
And erudite and witty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's one of our heroes.
And we love Dag.
Yeah. Yeah. He got to do something that he, not on that kind of stage, man. He didn't get,
he got the chance
to, and he killed it. That's why I always get ripped on, but I love the movie Boomerang, because
you can't get
a better cast.
No.
Chris Rock's in it. You got Martin Lawrence. You got David Alan Greer, Eddie Murphy, Robin Givens looking good. You got Halle Berry. I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it really is. And that is a perfect example. That is a gem when you see guys playing in these different styles. And here's the thing. Like, I think of somebody like Jackie Gleason when you did it with Ralph Cramden stuff. You'd see these movements he'd make every now and again. You go, well, what about that? Isn't that comedy acting, those movements that Ralph Cramden just did? I'm like, but it was like musical theater where he'd get so frustrated truthfully that he didn't know how else to express himself but then to go like this.
Yeah.
And does that come from it comes from a more codified tradition, like the Commedia dell'arte, where people had to make faces and that meant funny and this meant sad. But for him, it was always coming from a truthful place. And you go, truthful place? He was a vaudeville performer. No, he got so blustery with Alice and so mad and zoomed to the moon, but that came from a real anger that went whip. Because all you have to do to see Jackie Gleason and know that he's a real actor is watch The Hustler.
Yeah, I know. I know. And, another guy, kind of weird, but because we watch a lot of it, Mo in The Three Stooges.
Yes, yes.
Mo's always coming from a real place because he's the grounded one.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
He's always got the crazy plan. He's always got the ideas. And it's always Larry and Curly
and
fucking everything
And that's
up.
Why I think a lot of people, there's a thing, a lot of people do not connect Well, and this is because of the YouTube age, in my opinion.
Yeah.
People, there are times when people don't connect with Harpo.
Oh.
They don't connect with Curly. Because that's comedy acting.
Yeah.
And YouTube was the worst thing to happen to Harpo, bro.
But you know what I mean? Like, you watch Harpo with those eyes, and like, nobody walk. There ain't no nigga walk down the street looking like that. I ain't watching this bullshit.
Yeah.
The nigga got scissors.
Yeah.
Cut my tie off and see what happens, bitch. Cut off my tie and see what happens.
Well, you know, what fascinates me, though, is also, you know, you have certain performers. I think you're one of them, Keegan, who can pull off some largesse in performance. I might be using that word completely wrong. Jim Carrey, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
And say what you will about them, but in Ace Ventura, he's over the top, but he believes it.
He believes it.
He believes it. He plays it straight. Isn't that crazy?
It's the confidence that Ace Ventura has.
Yeah.
You know humans that confident.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go, come on. You just believe it, right?
Yeah.
And thank you, Jordan, for saying that.
It's totally possible to ground something that's ungroundable.
Right. He knew how to sell insanity. Like, he sold it, and that's what Jim Carrey does.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right. Sacha Baron Cohen, you nailed it with him. Like, even in his movies, he plays these characters that are so ridiculous, but they're great because you actually envision there is that character.
Right, exactly.
It's real.
Why couldn't I believe someone like that was on planet Earth?
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know,
how many Borats have you met in your life?
Right.
You've met versions of Borat.
Oh, yeah. And Philip Seymour Hoffman used to say, you know, people would say things about maybe he'd read a review or a notice about a theater performance he did or something he did on screen. And then people would say, that's not real. Nobody's like that. And he'd go, God, ride on the subway in New York City. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right. That's enough. I mean, Stephen Merchant will say there had been days in his life when he's wanted to put his hands around, almost said David Brent's neck, which is apropos for me to make that mistake. He goes, there are times when I want to put my hands around Ricky's neck because there are days when Ricky's worse than David Brent.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true.
That's entirely true, Rick.
Are you guys thinking of doing features? I mean, like as a team? Laurel and Hardy? Key and Peele.
We would like to think that if our show gets to that point, someone's going to come and try and make a little mint off of us. And
we'd be more than happy to do that. I enjoy, you know, part of it is it really comes down to just enjoying spending time with the person.
Yeah.
And I enjoy spending time with him. He sits around and giggles at me running around our office because I can't get over. I say this all the time. It's like the 5,000th time I've said this. But if there are 100 people standing in a room and we're all looking at a vase full of roses, 99 people in the room would be going, look, oh, God, those roses are gorgeous. Look, oh, they smell so beautiful. And one person in that room would say, I wonder if that vase was made in Taiwan. And that one person is Jordan Peele. And that's why I have the best comedy partner in the business.
Wow.
We can't achieve what we achieve.
It was me.
Can I tell you, that is like the greatest compliment I ever heard. So you better thank that man. That is the nicest and smartest compliment I ever heard. That's great.
No, I think that...
99 people look at a kid and
Lee just looks at me every day and goes, at least you're not that fat. And I'm like, oh, all right. That's good. Thanks, Lee. Pound it. All right.
What are you gonna say, Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, 99 people look at a kid and say, oh, he's so cute. I look at the kid and say, get out of my way.
So I got a little bit of W.C. Fields there too.
Yeah, I think you guys would be great in feature stuff and team stuff. I think that'd be great for you guys. I think
Bad Boys made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Bad Boys made a lot of money.
Yeah, but I mean I could see like even straight up like big romantic comedy, like kind of stuff.
Well, hey, remember did you have a job next week?
Oh, see,
some offers have come in.
You got some stuff.
You said rom com.
You got some stuff. You got some stuff.
We're back in the swing of things, so I don't think I can take it.
No, we're busy. The thing is, we didn't know. We felt. I'll be honest. We felt confident.
Yeah.
Confident feel about a pickup.
Yeah.
We had no idea it was going to come this quick.
Yeah, that's
no
nice,
idea.
Right? So are they getting you to back to work like right away as soon as they picked it up? Really?
We literally meet on Monday with our writers, and then Tuesday we have a show in Philadelphia.
And then Wednesday we edit our last show for this season.
Yeah, then Wednesday, you know, like, that's right. We finish our – so we Monday we meet with writers. Tuesday we do a show in Philadelphia. Wednesday we finish the sound mix for episode 108 and then go back to the office and start writing 201.
On Thursday.
On Wednesday.
And so somehow we're going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you teleporting or are you flying?
Right, exactly. I mean, when do we get to Philly? And then, I mean, wouldn't trade a second of it.
That's great.
And then tonight, I know myself and my partner both. I know. This is the most I've ever said my partner. It's so funny. I know that tonight.
You guys are cute together.
We're going to be. There's no ego to it. Like, we're going to be enthralled. To see David, to see Ken, to see Paul.
That's cool.
And you know what I mean? And all these people that have been, I don't even feel comfortable saying that they're contemporaries. I say that they're my, they're progenitors, not contemporaries. You know?
I mean, we both grew up in an era where when The State came out.
Yeah, we love The State.
Ah, yeah, The State's the best.
The State was like the American Monty Python, I would imagine.
I agree. I think that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Really broke form, yeah.
Yeah,
they were
terrific. I think that's great.
I mean, them and to me, those people to me are as much of an influence to me as now. I'm a big kind of a story, you know, people like Burt Williams, people like Peg Leg Bates, people like Godfrey Cambridge. You know what I mean? I love these old African American comedians. So my hope is that there's some kind of brand new amalgam that Jordan and I hopefully have stumbled upon.
I think so. I want to sum up what I got from you guys here, but I did want to bring up a couple of things. One, we've had Mark Evan Jackson on. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's great, and I know you've performed with him quite a bit.
Oh, we're dear friends, yeah.
What makes Mark Evan Jackson so great in your mind? What is great about him?
The thing is, Mark Evan Jackson is an assassin when it comes to the the undercut one-liner.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like more people, they do not appreciate this singular talent that he is in that regard. When we improvise, it's either the first or the third Friday of every month, we're in an improv troupe called the 313.
That's awesome.
And which is 313 is Detroit's area code. So
are you still going to be doing that with the show going on?
Oh, I'll never stop doing
that. And where's
that,
UCB?
No, it's at Second City. Yeah,
okay, cool.
We're all Second City Detroit alum.
Awesome.
And there's six of us, and we perform. And Mark, I mean, you sometimes, all of a sudden, you'll forget he was in the scene. And then you'll hear this line over here. Jordan knows exactly. Like it's like he renders himself invisible, like he's playing grandpa in the corner or something. And this line comes out. And he just murders. And I just saw him in San Francisco at Sketchfest.
Yep,
I saw him do the Thrilling Adventure Show with Sam Levine.
Yep.
And, you know, Ben Acker and I have become really good friends.
I love Sam. Sam's great.
Sam's terrific.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, his timing,
that
undercut timing.
I agree.
He's just exquisite. And that's something that Comedy Central loves him.
Yeah,
you saw him. You saw him in our Ancestry.com sketch.
Yeah.
And he and I worked together for years in Detroit. We were in the trenches and at Second City. And boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, I just exquisite.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. And someone else was asking Black Hawk Up, the sketch that you guys did.
The helicopter sketch.
Is the helicopter real? What's the deal
with
that?
We were in a helicopter. We kept on going around and around saying we couldn't do it. And then it was Gary Mann.
God bless Gary.
It was Gary Mann who said, I don't know if you guys know how cheap a helicopter actually is. Like,
Now Gary's putting you in a cheap helicopter. There's a difference.
That was the question mark. But you can see a moment in that where Keegan, that's the Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Keegan is actually terrified.
You're shitting your pants.
Yeah, I just about. And it felt so weird because I couldn't wait to get in that helicopter. I couldn't wait. And then I got up there, I was so disappointed.
It's like the coolest idea ever.
Absolutely.
And then you get in it and you're like, nah.
Yeah.
Not right. So cool.
Yeah. It was.
I think that's the first sketch ever shot.
In
the air.
So now you guys can do a man on a wire sketch.
Sure.
And Keegan's your guy.
Oh,
he's doing the man on the wire.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm gonna do it.
He'll be halfway and be like, no.
The right sales pitch, you can get Keegan to do it.
Just about anything, yeah. Our director, he said, I don't want to do it on green screen. We're not going to do it if we can't do it. And then when we got the, I couldn't wait to get in the helicopter. I got up in that sky. We started dipping in all over the place, and I was like, just give me a second.
I actually probably had somewhat of the harder job because I couldn't move or express any fear at all.
You got to play it cool.
I had to play it cool, yeah. But the good thing was I only had to be up there for about 15 minutes. You know, we did it different times.
Yeah.
Keegan had to do it for like 50 minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, the helicopter was going like this, and I'm going like this, and it was just gyro, and it was.
I
have a feeling.
It was wrong.
I have a feeling we're going to end up throwing him in another helicopter for season two. Though. I think Brock Favors needs to.
Now, did
Brock
your
Favors
day
survive the crash?
Did your day, Key, end after that helicopter thing? Okay, that's it. I'll see you later.
We shot something that morning. Before we went to go get in the helicopter, and then
that's one thing I think we one reason, if any, I think that we deserve props is we've done this in we shot this
a really
short amount of time.
Yeah.
For very cheap.
You guys are like the Stooges.
We're like the Stooges.
Very much like the Stooges in that regard.
Several people are we owe compliments to. I mean, Pete Atencio, our director. The guy that
makes it look so good for no money.
I gotta tell you, the show does look good. It looks sharp.
Yeah,
it looks sharp. You wouldn't think there's no money.
Yeah,
good. That's good.
2.3 sketches a day.
Oh man,
2.3 sketches a day.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah,
that's
it was
great.
Crazy Tom McGillicuddy.
It's MGM day.
So what's like an hour? What's like a? What are we talking, like 12 hours, 16 hour day? When
you do two and a half sketches? Not a lot of money for overtime.
Right.
So usually 12-hour days and we were done.
Yeah.
And there was a couple 22-hour days.
There was one day where Jordan had to do like motion capture green screen stuff. And I remember I left the set. I wasn't feeling well. I finished my deal. It was like a green screen day.
Yeah.
I finished my deal. I went home. I got home at like 10 to 11. The next day... we had like a late call. He comes on set. I was like, dude, when'd you guys finish? 3 a.m.
It wasn't motion capture.
Not motion capture. I'm sorry.
Special effects, but yeah.
I don't know what you. Yeah, oh yeah, because we had
That's
to put.
Wild.
It was composite.
If we can we should try and do something motion capture next season.
We should do a motion capture thing.
That
would be a blast. As long as it doesn't take 19 hours.
Right.
You know, some Andy Serkis thing would be amazing.
I love Andy Serkis so much, but you know, people saying like he deserves to be nominated.
Yeah.
I feel like yeah. Why don't you just not do a motion capture film for?
Yeah,
us?
I think you're so good. You could probably just play a human being.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Let's go get your Oscar that way. But
why are you making it harder than you need to?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was great in Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
so
but
good.
Like
he's amazing.
But
amazing,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that. Just get a real role, man.
That line is a very. If you break that line, I don't know if there's any going back.
Shaggy dog, you know. Yeah,
the
man.
Gorilla. I mean, the brothers played two different types of gorillas. Super giant gorilla, little chimpanzee gorilla.
I gotta tell you guys, I am. If there's room, I'm gonna jump on the bandwagon earlier because I think you guys are talented. But what I really like about you guys is you're very smart.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I like that. I think, and this goes to our pothead listeners out there, I think the more educated you are, the longer you can survive in this crazy world.
And then you can actually put poop jokes
on
television.
We're not saying you can't do the poop jokes, but you're not going to get on television unless you have half a brain.
right.
The poop jokes.
It can't be all poop jokes.
No. So I want to say you guys are really smart, really funny.
Oh,
I really dig it. I'm really happy about the show. Glad they have this confidence in you at Comedy Central. I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you so much.
We would love to talk to you at any time you like.
Anytime you want to come on, man.
Well, as long as we're doing it here.
Yeah, we're here all the time.
I love it.
You know what? I'll tell Mike Binder you're from Detroit. He's at Universal today, but I would have dragged him in here. He would love to meet you.
Oh, I've never met him. I'd love to meet him because
he's a great guy.
I want to know where he's from. We can just sit down and talk a little bit.
Yeah, he's done some great movies. I love Mike's work.
And
he's
I'll tell you,
smart too.
And I'd love to tell him because I remember Tim Allen came into University of Detroit years ago when he was going to do, I can't remember what it was, but he wanted to get acting lessons from the artistic director of our, it was when he was still just a comedian.
Yeah.
From the artistic director of our theater company. I think it was, and it was prior to Home Improvement.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I'd love to meet Mike Barton. I'd really love to meet him because I'm really happy that he did this.
He's
really am.
I mean, we'll have Dave Coulier on. We had Dave on, you know, because he's a Detroit guy, or Rod Lurie, you know.
Yeah, Rod Lurie.
I love having the Detroit people on. I kind of feel like I'm just extending Chicago a little.
A little east.
Look, I mean,
it's right past Gary.
I was in here every Sunday for every Lions game, and I'm like,
nice.
Oh, I might come down here. Like,
it's packed, man.
Well,
when the
Red Wings, get into playoffs, I'll come in here to
be
a blast.
You do. You want
to
be here. You want to be
here. They're definitely making the
playoffs. Yeah, but you should see the people that come in here at Coney. Brad Pitt's been in here a bunch of times.
Really?
Bruckheimer.
Oh, I hear that Bruckheimer likes it. He's a Detroit guy.
Yeah. Lots of people come in here, man. It's wild.
Jerry
Miner's in here all the time.
Jerry always
likes
to make sure to tell people all the time. He makes sure I am not
Jerry,
Detroit.
Jerry looks very serious when he's in here. Jerry,
he's got a cameo on our show. We love Jerry.
He's great. And doesn't he have a show right now? Isn't he doing a show right now?
I don't know, but he's always working on something.
I know
he's done something with a podcast, certainly, but I'm sure he's.
He's got to be on campus.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. He's this is just a cool place, man. The food's legit. I love the wings. I love the wings.
Are these good, buddy?
I would be eating them more if I wasn't.
I got to tell you, I don't know where you get better wings in L.A.
Really?
I went to Big Wang's the other day, man.
Doesn't hit it. Doesn't touch it.
I only go to Big Wang's for the sports game, so I got all the TVs
and
it's right by my house. But, you know.
I should call you up, and we should come here one day for a Wings Blackhawks game.
Absolutely.
Wings Blackhawks would be the jam.
Yeah, and then you can eat some Red Wings.
Red Wings.
We'll be the Blackhawks.
We'll be the Blackhawks.
I named them the Red Wings. And,
I love it.
And Mike was, like, walking around. He's like, Maddie named them the Red Wings. Isn't that great? And Rod Lurie goes, Mike. It's the most obvious thing of all time.
How did it take you
6 months? And Matt names them the Red Wings. And he goes, oh, yeah, I guess so. But it's great.
Like, you should feel bad about that a Chicagoan named your fucking hot wings Red Wings.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hilarious.
You know, I'm like, you should name something after Calvin Johnson.
Exactly.
Jordan. The Megatron. You can have the Megatron burger.
My New Yorker right here, but he loves him some Calvin
Isn't
Johnson.
Isn't he the best? Oh, he's the best.
He's the best.
You know what? I kind of started not to hate the Lions during the season because I'd come in here every game and I'd watch Calvin Johnson. And I'm like,
amazing.
All right, I like him so much, I actually don't hate the team so much.
Well, I want him to be our next Barry Sanders. I want him to be the guy that stays with one
except
team.
Retiring at 30.
Yeah,
I
don't want that part.
No.
Not before we win a Super Bowl.
Poor Javid Best is not, his head's not going to make it very
What do you think of Jim Schwartz and what do you think of Matthew Stafford?
I'm a big Stafford fan, I'll be honest about
you
right now.
Okay.
I'm not surprised about Jim Schwartz the way everybody else is. I watched him. I don't know why I'm a Tennessee fan.
Yeah.
But I've always been a little bit of a Tennessee fan. Like, they're one of my AFC teams I pay attention to. So my big thing has always been, I watched how he coached that defense.
When he was with Jeff Fisher,
when Bullock was there, and Tullock was there, and the Freak was there, and Kirk was there.
Yep.
So when he was there with Fisher, I remember going, he's got these guys running around like rabid dogs.
Yeah.
And it just surprised me when that happened in Detroit. And I think, like, in Dominican, I think that he's young still.
Yeah.
He's zealous.
He's got that ego, man.
You know, he's just got to learn it's not going to go your way.
Stop stepping on
people's
heads.
You know what? I will say this about Jim Schwartz, that what I noticed is I felt like the team got unhinged starting with that incident with where he – you know,
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
So, I mean, what I think is he was leading the pack a little bit too roughneck.
Yeah,
And if he's going to be acting like that,
why wouldn't they? Did he really even care about all the penalties? Because he didn't do anything about it.
I don't think he cared at all. I don't think there was nothing punitive done.
He didn't get any penalty for that, right?
But I mean, the team led the league in penalties. And it started happening really right after the Harbaugh moment,
and they started losing.
They started losing too. But it just kind of seemed like Jim didn't care about the penalty.
Yeah, I think he didn't. And I think, but I do think he is trying, he was, or maybe still is, trying to develop a that culture in the
yeah.
I want you to rip dudes' heads off.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, at the end of the day,
well, when you have Vandenbosch and you guys
Vandenbosch and Averill
yeah.
and Domikin, but the problem is Young and Fairley are two guys who I think want to learn technique.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you've got Stephen Tulloch back there. We've got cap issues, and if we lose Tulloch, watch.
Yeah.
They're gonna run on us even more because Tulloch plays ferociously but keeps his head about him. He's really good.
Yeah.
And
you
we
guys
cannot
need,
afford to
you
lose
guys
him.
Need to, you guys need to keep him. You can't let him go.
And the big thing.
And then you need a running back.
Michael.
Bad.
But here's the thing. If Michael, well, of course, Javid Best, like a fucking China doll, he's making me cool.
Yeah.
He's making
yeah.
me, he's giving
yeah.
me, he's giving me ulcers. But
he's
the
a soft
other, he does, dude, right on his ankle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other thing, but if we can get Michael LeSure and Morris, get that,
yeah.
that big body, if we get that, we should have won that San Francisco game.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a big back to ice the game.
Yeah.
And if we can get a big back in there to ice the game, boy, we could have 12 wins next year.
Where do you watch the games when you're out in LA?
I pay the money that needs to be paid
to the Red
for
Zone.
For Red Zone for my DirecTV every year. My wife understands that it just has
but
to be.
But you
paid.
Know you can go ape shit in here too.
Well, that's
it's
true.
It's okay. People go nuts.
Yeah. Well, and
nuts.
Of course the game is not. I have to say this. The game is played in real time here, and I got to go to church.
Oh.
So when I come home from church, I can watch the game at 1:00.
Oh, that's a good move.
That's why I have
okay.
it. But I might, you know, maybe a few days when it's like a pivotal game.
Plus,
like
then you got like Sunday night games, and you got
or I go to, I go
Monday
to Sunday
night
service or the
yeah.
early morning
well,
service.
There you go. There you go.
And
rearrange.
I come in for divisional games.
There you go.
I have my buddy Ike Barinholtz coming here when they play the Bears.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
When they play, well, we did well against the Lions this
year.
You
did?
So, yeah,
you did.
I was happy.
Five
Cutler getting injured ruined our whole season.
Yeah,
man.
It did. And I would say the day, just not to be weird, but I feel like the game would have been a little different if Stafford hadn't been an idiot that second game.
I agree with that.
And threw with that weird finger.
I am not sold on Schwartz or Stafford.
On Stafford?
Yeah, as a guy who's not a diehard Lions fan, I think my from the outside looking in view is Stafford, I don't think his arm's as big as everyone thinks it is.
Wow.
I don't think he makes a lot of smart decisions. I'll say this. There were a lot of games where he was obsessed with Pettigrew.
That's true.
And Pettigrew doesn't have hands to begin with.
Hmm. No, Pettigrew does not have good hands.
And
he
then
makes
on
me nervous.
Top of it, he
he's
throws
fullback,
the ball
right?
at Pettigrew's
no,
no, tight end. He would throw the ball
the,
at Pettigrew's.
The black tight end, not the white tight end.
Okay, yeah, right. It'd be at Pettigrew's shins or it'd be at Pettigrew. But he has bad hands to begin with. Like, and he would just get obsessed with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, dude, you got to make better choices.
Well, you need to throw it to Titus Young.
Yeah,
and the other thing is, but I will say
and
this.
And Schwartz, it's with the discipline.
Yeah,
it's with the penalties right. that killed him.
I have seen him throw that ball into tight spaces.
Yeah.
Quick.
No, that's
like,
true.
Quick.
That's true. But yeah. How awful was that Monday night football game with the Bears and Lions, where the first half was basically the whistle got called every 10 seconds?
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Was
I
that
know.
Not the worst football you've ever watched?
They
you're like an amateur
game,
hour.
They were going to do that.
The only game that was worse than that was when we just imploded in the playoffs
yeah.
against the Saints.
Yeah.
Just imploded.
After the first half that you were leading. Yeah.
Leading, winning
yeah.
the game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I agree with you there, and I don't think the Saints are as special as they used to be. So.
Nope.
Well, I'm going to let you guys get moving, because I know you got your big premiere tonight. You guys got to look good, or are you going like that? You're going like that? It's all right.
I am.
All right, it's all right. It's all right.
I just thought he said, I kind of wore these clothes today just to ask you guys.
If I could go.
To be in the showrunners, he said.
Let me
just do this, right?
Let me tell you.
Look.
I'm wearing a Quiznos shirt, and I'd go to the Wanderlust premiere looking
right.
like this. So
because
I'm
David,
not the guy to ask.
David doesn't care. David doesn't care.
No, he won't care.
There's a certain point where the down-to-earth gets more, photographed more than Jennifer Aniston
yes,
and her godlessness.
If you get
oh,
more photographs
buddy.
Of you in that than Jennifer,
Aniston
does in her short little tight outfit tonight.
It will prove the point.
Oh, man.
It will prove the
yeah.
point.
Yeah, yeah. But
congratulations.
Key and Peele, we're going to get a second season. How much left of the first season? How many episodes
we've got? Yeah, five more episodes.
Five more episodes
five
left
more episodes.
Of this one.
Yep. Yep.
And then we're going to be seeing a second one in what, the fall, would you say, or the
well,
summer?
I think the actual date is September 26th.
Because
they want us to, as of right now, they want us to air. We'll see what happens.
Awesome.
They want us to air with
After South Park.
After South Park. They want South Park to be our lead-in. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd love to have you guys on anytime. You're fantastic.
Hey, absolutely.
This
we'll pop
smart
in.
And fun, man.
We'll pop back in.
Pop in, hang out. Yeah. I unless you're buying me a new board, ain't happening.
Oh,
yeah. Man. So, thank you guys very, very much.
Thank
Key and Peele, Tuesday nights, correct?
Tuesday nights, 10:30, 9:30
after
Central.
Tosh.
Right after Tosh, 10:30.
After Tosh. And tell Tosh to keep them coming to get your ratings
you got it.
Through
you
the
got
roof
it.
More,
yeah.
too.
You got it.
But thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot,
much.
Guys, man. It was,
all
it was
right.
a blast.
All right. Lee. All right. Sorry, I had to. But I want you to talk about the interview and stuff. We got like, I want to get out of here in like 5 minutes, but go ahead.
Right,
whatever
what,
you got going
here's,
on.
Here's
I'm going to go have a drink.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the questions that I had prepared for Key and Peele, and you answer them as as either Keenan or Jordan.
Okay.
All right. So, issues that I sometimes have with a certain sketch show that comes on Saturday nights and is live include the fact that they seem to spend a lot of time on sketches that are they're very big on sets. And costumes, and they want to look like the people they're doing. Celebrity impersonations are big. They want it to be really good sets. And all these things it seems like they're committed to that don't necessarily make a sketch any funnier.
Yeah.
And then you, as either Keenan or Jordan would say,
I wasn't listening.
Okay. All right. All right. Next question.
Yeah, next.
Okay.
I'll listen to this one.
I'm curious as to how Comedy Central gives you what kind of freedom is in terms of content. Like, do they give you notes that say that's too politicized, that's too raunchy, that's R-rated?
Yes.
Okay. Third question.
Content.
Do you start with characters or situations when you're writing sketches?
Usually start with a computer and a keyboard.
Okay, this is going great. Pop-Tarts or frozen waffles?
Oh, I gotta tell you, I love pizza, man.
Okay, all right. Jordan,
right.
You are a cutoff.
Yeah, you know how crazy I am.
Okay,
all right.
When you're writing sketches, does it seem like can a performer trust the material too much? I mean, do you want to say? There's a certain amount of improvising you're doing, and do you have a cutoff for improv during a scene?
No.
Okay. Matt's mom. Now, I'll be Matt. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, you see, my mother, when she's in town, she's going to say, now, I haven't seen your show. What do you tell her to get her to watch the show? And I, Matt, will say, well, suppose she never watched the Nickelodeon sketch show, All That.
Well, then it is like
MattAaron.com.
I hate to be this guy, but I just want to get off the air before my parking goes up another $2.
Okay.
So we're leaving.
We're
going to pack up.
Yeah.
And we're going to...
I definitely got to take a pill for my nerves.
You're doing all right now.
I'm doing okay
you
now.
Calm down.
That was a great interview. Those guys are incredibly smart.
Yeah.
They know so much about comedy, about the mechanics of it. They know their stuff. They know their history, and they have a good product. And we'll definitely be seeing them again.
They're very talented men and very funny. And you got to watch Key and Peele Tuesday night after Tosh.0.
Yeah.
You might as well just watch the whole Comedy Central block. Gary Mann... is doing a good job over there, so give it a look. All right, thank you very much. I will be back tomorrow with Mark Canton
and
Pascal
Vicadomini. I keep wanting to say Villa Giorosa.
And then for those wondering, Mark Canton produced 300. He produced his brother produced all the Back to the Futures. He also did the. Mark did the Batman movies and everything at Warner Brothers and at Columbia from like the late 80s to early aughts. So Mark will be joining us tomorrow. He has a lot to talk about. And that's all for me today. I got to go. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.